Hi everyone, welcome to Spiritual Table Talk. This is Imposter Syndrome dash
Introversion, Extroversion.
Introversion, Extroversion, Part 2. We kind of carried on from the last segment. As always, you can subscribe or follow on the podcast at Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. It's me, Ali Al, and Indio here. We were talking about introversion, extroversion, and one of the last points that I had made was basically introversion is something that
was basically created kind of by the rich. Basically, back in the day, it wasn't...
You couldn't afford it. It's something that you can either afford to be introverted or not.
That part. Yeah. Which is, like I said, crazy to think because you don't think about those things, but you come to realize that that's really what occurred. Like, because the only reason you would get stuck in the house, like, as I think of my childhood, I remember it would be like I was playing video games. Like, you would get stuck in the house playing video games. So, like, if you didn't have a group of friends, you're playing by yourself, and so on and so forth. So then you'd start becoming introverted or whatever, playing video games, da da da. And which means you have to be able to afford the video games.
Exactly.
Which, yeah, that's a thing. When you, like, break it down like that, you're like, damn.
Or if you don't, like, in the sense where, like, in a third world country, you don't have
those things.
No, you don't have video games. You gotta go to your neighbor.
You don't have TV. You have to go to your neighbor. You have to play outside.
Or you have to go to those areas that have them.
Exactly.
Because I know in Mexico, for example, they have arcades still. Like, they have big versions of arcades that, like, have all, like, the fucking things. And kids love the shit. And it's like, those things would be packed with kids and just, like, filled up with motherfuckers that love playing the shit. And it's just like, you're constantly around people.
Yeah, you're forced to.
Yeah, you're forced to, but like, it isn't really a thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
When you think about it, like, back in the day, you didn't really care. It wasn't something you, like, freaked out about. You didn't have the anxious about. Like, you didn't have that angst. Mm-hmm. You weren't like, oh, I gotta be around all these people and so on and so forth.
No, and of course there are people.
Mom kind of always had that.
No, there are people who are like that because those are true introverts.
That part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Versus a lot of people are introverts. Basically, because they were nurtured into
being
introverted.
Yeah.
But it comes over time. And you can develop over time that it's called agoraphobia, where you're afraid of people.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that's what that really is.
Wow.
That's
what that is. Agoraphobia is a real thing. And you can develop that. And most people that have, like, social anxiety and da-da-da-da-da,
it's just a
light version of agoraphobia that they don't understand that that's what it is. And you can develop it. You can develop it by living a lifestyle in which you're not forced to deal with people. In a lifestyle that's way too easy. That's way too comfortable. Or in a lifestyle where you're forced to be alone all the time. But again, if you think about it, like, people who have, like, a single child, my godmother used to make a joke, like, basically, always, rich people have a single child, poor people have 10, right? And so, people who have a single child, that person is given way more, and they're afforded more. Which can put them in a space where they can separate themselves from their peers more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because if you think of,
like, a rich single kid.
Yeah.
Right? He probably has everything there is to do there in his house.
So,
but no one to do it with.
Except, like, when you were, like, the kids who didn't have money, we still had to get together and, like, pull our money together to do things, like... People had certain things at their house, like, versus the real rich kid, especially the single kid with no siblings. Like,
so all of that's, like, introversion is something that you can, like, train yourself into. Now, someone who's really a natural introvert, even in those situations, they're going to be an introvert from very early on.
Yeah, 24/7.
And, yeah, that's just part of their natural, what they lean towards. But introversion and extroversion, it's the same thing as leaning in one direction or leaning in the other. So just even if you are a natural introvert, you can force yourself to lean into your extroverted side, but you have to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
and enjoy it. Like, you're not enjoying, like...
At first, you won't.
No, of course.
Well, no, but that's about... That's even with imposter syndrome, you got to learn how to step into uncomfortable situations to really find you.
Yeah, exactly. And with the imposter syndrome thing is, like... Yeah, you can feel like you're an imposter, right? But, again... Your feelings aren't based on truth.
No, it's kind of you just being uncomfortable with the situation.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you're feeling like an imposter, because you don't feel comfortable within the situation. Like, you don't...
And another thing that does contribute to imposter syndrome, it's a big one, is if you are actually impostering to a certain degree. So, I'll give you an example. You have someone, they go to medical school. They drop out second year in. But now they try to pretend around everyone that they're a doctor. So they know they aren't actually a doctor, and they don't have the knowledge needed to be considered a full doctor.
Got you.
But they want that
credit.
So give you an example in a different way.
No, yeah, okay, go ahead.
This could be somebody who, like, let's say, in the spiritual sense, they start doing spiritual work for people, and they know some spiritual work and how to do it. But now they try to start taking on spiritual work that they don't know actually how to do. So then they feel like an imposter because they don't have the necessary knowledge to fully empower them in that role.
Right.
And they know that the knowledge is lacking.
Right. But so then they're going to feel...
But they keep on pushing.
Yeah, because they don't want to admit that they can't.
Yeah, they don't want to lose that credit, that ego, that rep, or whatever. Like,
Or now people think I'm not as powerful, or this, or this, or that. Like, I've had people come to me and be like,
I was about to say, like,
can you do this? And I'll be like, nah, I can't do it. And they'll be like, oh, so you're saying you can't do that? I guess you're not as powerful as you thought. And I was like, I guess not.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll find someone powerful enough to do it for you, darling. But most of the time when I would say I can't do it, it's because the situations are impossible, what they're asking for, right? Or sometimes I can't do it for them for real because I couldn't do it because I just couldn't do it because I wasn't there yet in my development. And I was there enough to know that I couldn't do it.
Well, because like, you also get people that bring you in because they know they can't do it. So they bring you in to do it.
Now, those people, they're not going to suffer with imposter
syndrome. Yeah, they know.
That's what I'm saying.
They know their limits.
They're realistic with themselves. They understand.
That's how
you... But, pause. Now, in the other place, there are some people that bring you in, but don't... They still play
the role
as they're leading it.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. That is imposter syndrome, isn't it?
It still is to some degree.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's less than the full imposter.
Yeah, they still want to hold up the credit, but they also know they can't fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't do that shit. So, like, fully. Basically, yup.
Okay, so that's one level. But then the other level is those other people, like, I can think of someone off the hand, like, and she tells everybody. So I'm going to mention it because, and I know she doesn't mind, like Mambo Sandy. Mambo Sandy will tell you, me, I'm here for certain things for you. Certain things I'm never going to be able to do. That's not me. That's not where my gifts are. That's not what I can do. It's just not going to happen. I'm this late in my life. And so, like, it's just like in that.
She's going to be real about it.
Okay. These are things that Papa knows how to do. He can do. I know he can do them while I've seen him do them. So I'm going to take you over there. Okay. Right. Now, that's the person who's clear. She's not going to suffer with imposter syndrome when she's doing her mambo work.
Right.
Okay? Someone who else who's, like, not sure if they can or can't, and then they sign up to do something and then realize that they can't. And then later on says, like, oh, yeah, still tries to push on. They're going to suffer with more imposter syndrome because they know that the knowledge is lacking.
Yeah.
So the moment that they push on,
already
they just strengthened the imposter syndrome. it's going to be something harder to break.
Oh, yeah, because you keep pushing that shit.
Yeah. They're building it. So you're building it. So now you make yourself more like an imposter. Yeah. You feel like it because now you're doing it.
The same as you were just talking about, like, when you work your spiritual work, like the plant and everything, you're doing the same thing with the imposter syndrome. You're growing that bitch.
That weed.
Yeah, you're making it abundant now.
Instead of growing a fruitful plant. Your
garden.
Yeah.
And, like, you got weeds everywhere.
And so you feel that and you strengthen it. And so then you're going to feel next time like more of an imposter. If you're smart, you notice that because it happens. Yeah. Anything can happen.
And sometimes you got to call yourself out.
Okay. If you're smart, you notice that you call yourself out and you're like, oh, shit, that. And then you're like, so now I know what I need to do, which is to go get the training and knowledge or whatever and find out, is this something I can do and get the tools that I need in order to do it properly.
Boom.
It's a simple fix.
Yeah.
Now, if you just keep doing it, keep seeing the imposter syndrome and keep doing it, you're just going to strengthen that. And you're going to basically remain with the anxiety, remain with everything else that's the side effects.
Which ends up really kind of being the punishment of it all.
Yeah, it's you're punishing yourself without you seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the thing is, it takes time. If you follow imposter syndrome, then you're never going to know who you are.
Yeah.
So, therefore, your imposter syndrome is just a different way of saying being a parasite. Okay? Because you never know who you are, and you never know the difference between you and other people. What part is you and what part is other people? And what you have to understand is, within you naturally, you have tons of pieces of other people because you've absorbed them throughout your life. But some of those pieces are absorbed and actually now a part of you. And some of those parts are parts you're trying to pretend to play.
Yeah, you're mm-hmm. stepping on a mask.
You're putting it up, putting on a show. So that's A. B, if you suffer with imposter syndrome, you can't be like, you know what? He is good at A, B, and C. That's what he's good at. And I acknowledge him for that. By acknowledging him for that, I can see that's not my forte.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. But
now it makes it more clear to me what my forte might be. It's not that.
It's not that.
And if I can say, oh, he's good at this, this, that, and she's good at this, this, that, all of those things can start to help me see I'm good at, where is my capacities.
Yeah. Instead of looking like down on yourself, like, oh, like I'm lacking or whatever.
No, he or she is good at this, this, that. He or she is good at this, this, that. And you might also be good at this, this, that, that they're good at.
Good at too, yeah.
But you might find like, oh, yeah, they're good at that. They're really great at that. I'm good at it. But I can step my game up.
Yeah.
Ah.
Okay. Too. Or they're great at it. You have to acknowledge the person where they're at.
Yeah.
So if they're great at it, you're like, yeah, they're fucking great at it. I'm good at it. I have the passion for it. I love it. Not because of like a competition with this person or I'm in this
environment. People can be motivation. They don't have to be competition. Exactly.
They're motivated.
Yeah.
You're motivated.
Yeah.
Right? When you're in competition, you're in imposter syndrome.
Yeah, you're fighting for something or whatever. But when you're motivated, that's the thing. Like when you're motivated,
it comes from the inside out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a different feeling to it. There's a big different feeling too, like motivation and competition.
Yeah.
I like to call motivation inspiration, but not inspiration how people think. People think like, oh, I'm inspired to do this. No. Inspiration in the sense of the energy is coming from the inside out to want you, that you want to go do that. You're pushed to go do that. And there may be good parts about it and bad parts, but the bad parts, you don't mind them really that much. You know it's a part of the total package.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is good. And they're not enough of a con to take away from the plus.
Yeah.
So you're like motivated enough on the plus that you know like, hey, these little cons are things that I got to deal with. Right? And that doesn't block you or stop you. That's motivation. That's inspiration coming from the inside out. When you have ambition, greed, and competition, which is what most people operate on, is this or that person has this or this or that. I want this or this or that. So I'm going to do what so-and-so is doing in order to get the same shit. But guess what? Now you just threw yourself into imposter syndrome. Because now you got to be like so-and-so. But what if you're not like so-and-so? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I feel Sounds like a miserable-ass life. Well,
the thing is, I feel like a lot of people get ambition mixed up. A lot of people talk about, like, you know, how it's always...
Ambition is bad.
Yeah.
I understand that, but I feel like a lot of people usually come like, you don't have no drive, you don't got no ambition. And it's like, I don't think it works that way.
No. That's why there's a difference between ambition and motivation.
Yeah.
So motivation, how we use it, it's a better word than inspiration, because if you don't get it and really understand what I'm starting to say, then motivation's your next best word.
Right.
Motivation comes from the inside out. You just want to do that shit. And some you could be tired, you still want to do it. A motivated, I'll give you an example. Motivated motherfucker is like Einstein or like a mad scientist or fucking Tesla.
Yeah.
Those are motivated motherfuckers. They want to do it. They might be tired of shit. They can't let it go.
Yeah.
They just want to keep on doing it, doing it. It might take lots of hard work, but they don't give a fuck. They're almost obsessed with it to a certain degree. That's motivation.
Yes.
Ambition is...
You're like...
No, I see something out there that I want. I want that. Okay, what am I going to do to get it? So, therefore, it's coming from the outside. You're trying to drive yourself from the outside. But if any time whatever you're ambitious after doesn't shine so much to you...
Desperation.
No, when the other negative stuff happens, like, for example, I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. Lots of people love and want to do spiritual work. You know, I applaud people for, you know, lack of IQ. Why? Because ambition says, you know, I'm really tired of working for other people. I don't like listening to other people. Ambition says, I want to be able to make money from a house. I don't want to have to go nowhere. I don't want to have to commute and do all that shit. Ambition might say, you know, I really enjoy arts and crafts. Yeah, because a lot of people, that's how they approach. Because there is a lot of, like, mixing in this.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. So, you know, that would be fun to do full time. Right? And ambition says all those things. So then you go and you be a spiritual worker. Then you find out, maybe you say, I don't like computers. I don't like to be on the computer all the time. I'm technologically burnt out. Then you go to be a spiritual worker and you find out the reality of being a spiritual worker. Okay? Now, the spiritual work thing, it doesn't shine as bright for you.
It's not what you want anymore.
It's not, no, because those challenges that come with it, okay, you don't have the inner drive or energy driving you forward to overcome it and to make it not a big deal. Now, your desire changes based on how the situation looks. Now you find out instead, you're right. You know, you don't have a boss. You have many bosses. Okay? They are clients. They are people who purchase from you. They are godchildren. They are the loa. They are everybody. You have many bosses, and you need to know how to juggle them. Okay? And how to balance bosses out. Okay? You're right. You don't ever got to leave home. And if you're successful enough at your spiritual work, we'll chain you up to the altar. So you could just never leave there, because that's where you should be 24/7
just
working.
Just spiritual work.
Okay.
We'll bring you water and food.
You'll make tons of arts and crafts. You know?
Not that you want to make it, but
okay.
you'll
no longer want to make it. Exactly. Okay? You won't get any paid vacation days, sick days, bonuses,
benefits,
time off, benefits, health insurance, pension plan, IRA, 401k, whatever you call it. You will also be doing all the computer work for yourself in the world, too. Because anyone you could hire, for the most part, they're not going to totally understand what you do.
Yeah.
So even if they can do some of it for you, they can't do all of it.
So you're doing most of it.
You're doing most of it. You still have to hover over time. And you're going to have to advertise for yourself and do all these things. When you could have worked the job, made way more money, worked a certain time frame, have sick days, vacation days, all those other good benefits.
Yeah.
Okay, made your money. When you're not on the clock, you're not on the clock. That's it. It's done for you. Yeah, vacation days, sick days, all of that. And you're only tasked to do what you have to do. You don't also have to be like advertiser, manager, this, that, yeah, this, that, this, that. You just got your one job position. That's all you got to do.
Very simple.
You don't got to advertise for the company if your job is being a janitor.
When you're done work, you're done work.
That's why I say to people, like, that has to come, the desire for spiritual work, that has to come from motivation. It has to come from the spirit, right, pushing you forward for that. Otherwise, all that other shit is going to get on your nerves, and you're going to be like, no, I should be doing... I want to do something way easier.
So you're constantly stuck in the search.
Yeah, so then you're going to go look for something else, look for something else, look for something else. All the time I get people come to me like, I saw so-and-so, like, they're making a lot of money on stocks. I want to make a lot of money on stocks. And they don't know shit about stocks.
How the fuck you gonna make money on stocks? You don't know anything about it.
They want to take... Everybody know how the stock market work enough. So they want to take a little 6-week, 8-week course or something and then start making their money and living off stock money. Repay all their loans and their debts. Everything's just going to be a Golden Globe Award.
No, that's...
Okay. Nobody wants to work. That's why it's called work.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, you got
to. Everyone keeps on searching for a dream job. That's the problem.
That's why. It's in your dreams.
It's in your dreams. It's a big problem.
Okay, leave it there.
Leave them.
Yeah, leave them be.
Understand, they're not going
to okay.
be.
Okay, your be. Hopes and dreams are against you.
They're lying to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, your hopes and your dreams, a lot of those are demons. Because you're going to keep on chasing after them. And then you're going to live the life of a roach. You're going to be like a roach, okay, just trying to get some, okay, and running scrambling. After them, scrambling all around.
Yeah.
And the lights come on and you're scrambling, okay?
No, okay. The lights came on. Gotta go back to the dark.
So, yeah, exactly. So that's what people don't understand. So introversion, bringing it back,
because
that was a little sideline.
No, roaches are introverts.
Yeah, roaches are introverts, but they're actually extroverts because they hang out all together.
All together.
But that introversion thing is really a thing of affording it. And one of the things that you can do, aside from the spiritual work, because really that's the real cure, but one of the things that you can do is force yourself out of it. Force yourself out of it means force yourself to go in situations where there's lots of people and it's not comfortable, et cetera, et cetera. Most people aren't even going to be able to do that without the spiritual work.
100%.
That's just the facts. That's why I always go back to the spiritual work, just because most people aren't even these little things when I tell people like, hey, do this or hey, do that. You have to build up the strength to even do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And it can be simple.
It can be.
But by you using force. But you can't use force if you ain't got none.
Boom.
Okay? And if you live a life of avoiding, and with weakness in yourself, and that's not your fault. You can end up weak. It's partially, but not totally your fault. Okay? And you can end up weak through a variety of reasons.
That part.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you ended up with that weakness, like, you gotta basically stamp it the fuck out.
Yep.
That's how that works.
But the spiritual work is usually...
It's gonna give you what the needed force for you to make those steps to stamp it out.
Yeah.
You know? And...
It's the main factor.
It's the main factor, because when we're talking about spiritual work, we're talking about changing how you experience things and you experience life. So if you change that experience and how you're going to come to experience things, then it's easier to make the change. It's easy. It becomes easy.
And, yeah.
Yeah. It's working on your perspective, your perception, how things get brought into you, so on and so forth.
Okay.
So I think that's what we got for this one. Sounds Let's good. See where we're at. Yeah. Good timing. Many blessings to all of you.
No problem. Peace, soul, grace.
That and keep the faith. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. Stay blessed.